This is a broadcast of Power Walk with Dr. Paul Cannings, Senior Pastor of Living Word Fellowship Church in Houston, Texas. His biblical teachings are broadcast Monday through Friday right here at this same time. Have you ever considered that the toughest times and hopeless situations can actually turn into the most meaningful experiences of your life? Pastor-teacher Paul Cannings challenges us to make our way to the feet of Jesus to understand His plan for our life today.
Do you know that the worst scenarios that we could ever experience in our lives can become the best? Sometimes when I was working within the Christian school, I used to tell the teachers, you know, a great teacher, when the worst student with the right attitude is in front of the teacher and the teacher works and gets the best out of that child. If you have a smart child with a good attitude and the teacher is bragging about how great the grades are, yes, the teacher did teaching, but it's definitely not at the level of a teacher who was dealing with the first explanation I provided. It just is not the same. If a coach takes an athlete that has ability and has a good attitude and works to develop the child, but that particular athlete is not necessarily the best athlete, is not the one that running the best times on the track, may not have the best shot on the basketball court, but when that coach is finished with that person, they are the greatest person on that team. That's coaching. Folks, sometimes we have to get so ready for God to do great work for us. When God is saying, no, I am already ready. I am the ready you need to be ready. So you need to open up your life so that I can take you where you are to be all I've ever brought you on earth to be. Hagar, in Genesis chapter 21, is in the worst scenario you can think of. She is a slave girl. She has no authority. She is put into a situation and becomes pregnant. She is thrown out the family. Sarah doesn't want her son to have any rights, so she wants the son out. And now she is thrusted out of the family again. When God told her to go back after the first time in Genesis chapter 16, she obeyed God. She went back. She stuck with the structure that God has put in place, being a mother, being a slave, submitting to the authority of her mistress. She was expected to do it. She did it. And she's right back where she started about 16 years later. She is there. Sometimes you do the right thing, but it turns out to have results that you never planned on, results that you never believed that you could be in. Maybe you did the right thing and got married as a mother, worked on the relationship with your husband, and now you are divorced and a single parent with 2 or 3 kids. It's not that you didn't start out the right way. It just didn't work the way that you planned for it to work. And now you are saddled with 2 or 3 kids and a husband being very offensive in paying child support. Maybe it's the mindset you came with, that to be intimate with a man, you don't have to be married. Maybe that's the mindset you came with. Maybe that's the way you were raised. Maybe that's what you were exposed to with a father and a mother at the house, or a single mother who had boyfriends at the house. Maybe that's your background. That's your experience. So it became your worldview. And now you're saddled with 2 kids from 2 different men, and you're seeking to do what God has called you to do. Could this bad situation become something that God makes great? Do you have to get ready, or do you have to let God's readiness become your victory? Oh, folks, this is exactly what Hagar is thrusted into and Hagar is now faced with. Her son grew up. He's now 16. But Isaac has been born, and Isaac has now become 2 years of age, and all of the attention was on Isaac. So Ishmael became a little jealous or was upset at this big party they're putting on for Isaac. And he is now just mocking his brother Isaac. He is teasing his brother Isaac. Who knows? Maybe Isaac started crying, and Sarai, she's not going to have. There is no way he's going to dominate the promised child, the one child after all these years she's finally has, and he is going to mock this child? No way. God's blessings have come upon her. Some people believe she could have been around 90 years of age. God's blessings have come upon her. She's now excited and fired up about her child. And this child is going to do what? No way. Sarah, She said to Abraham, who for a while was a very passive husband, but this time he actually decided to show some leadership characteristics. And he says in verse 10 of Genesis chapter 21, he says, "Therefore she said to Abraham, 'Drive out this maid and her son, for the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son Isaac.' The matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son." Notice he didn't respond as fast this time. He didn't say, "Woman, I put the maid in your hands. Do whatever you want." He doesn't respond that way this time. This time he showed leadership characteristics by going to God. This time he gave it some time to think. "But God said to Abraham, 'Do not be distressed, because the lad and your maid, whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her, for through Isaac your descendants shall be named. So don't worry about it. I made a promise to you. It's set. It's done.'" Now, here is the first thing we must accept. Because if you're constantly complaining about your circumstance, God can't work within your circumstance to give you victory. Here is what is the circumstance that Hagar now has. And it's actually depicted very well. So Abraham, verse 14 of Genesis 21, rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar, putting them on her shoulder, and gave her the boy and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Bethshittah. Now watch this carefully. He put it on her shoulder. She has the responsibility of caring for this boy. He didn't put a year's ration. He puts, more unlikely, a day's ration, because there are cities within a day that she can arrive in. Notice he didn't give her a specific direction, because no point in her going back to her family. They're not going to accept her with this boy. It's not going to be the same for her in Egypt. She's coming with a mixed child. But everything is within a day's journey, and all she had is a day's food. I notice she has nowhere to go, so she wanders. The Bible says right here, "sent her away, and she departed and wandered in Bethshittah." She has no place to go. You know, when you are a single parent and you run out of money and not too sure how you're going to pay the rent, no place to go. But there's a place that she decides she must stay focused on, and that's being a mother. She may not have a land to go to. She may not have a house to go to. She may not have a tent to go to. But she does have a son to love. And she makes the decision to love her son. Folks, I'm a product of a mother who, yes, had a good husband, faithful to her, faithful in providing for his family, faithful in making sure his family has a good church home, faithful. My mom decided to be a mom. She didn't have the struggle, the external struggles of Hagar. She wasn't a rich woman. She was lower middle class. She wasn't the best educated woman, but she made a decision that I've so benefited from, and that is she decided for 8 of her children, she was going to be a mother. Folks, Hagar's decision to be a mother has never been an issue from the start. She's always been concerned about being a mother. Hagar has the worst of circumstances. But the thing that is in front of you is the decision as to whether or not, in spite of the circumstances, are you going to be committed to being a mother? First, you have to accept that God has allowed this to be in your life. If God should will it so, 1 Peter chapter 3 would say, endure suffering for righteousness' sake. Don't just endure suffering for suffering's sake. Because I'm a Christian, God is telling me to endure and he's going to deliver me. No, accept suffering for righteousness' sake. In other words, I am going to accept the situation I'm in and do the best I can in it, but I'm also going to take on the responsibility in it of being a great mother. I can be a great mother without Nintendo TV. I can be a great mother without providing Nike shoes. I can be a great mother without having piano lessons that I can pay for. I can be a great mother without having soccer. I can be a great mother without all that external stuff. Because developing a human being is character development. Developing a human being is an emotional stability, mental stability. Developing a human being is based on a sense of security. So if we accept the circumstance and that God can provide victory in areas we have no control, God can get it done. Yes, I got to go to work. I have the responsibility on my shoulder, Hagar is saying here. Hagar has to feed this child. Hagar takes on that responsibility seriously, and she works to that responsibility. But she has no place to go, but she decides she's going to be a mother. In verse 15, he says, and when the water in the skin was used up, she left the boy on the one of the bushes, and she went and sat down opposite, about a bow shot away, for she said, do not let me see the boy die. I love him. I can't stand to see my son die. And she sat opposite him and lifted up her voice and wept. Who was she weeping for? She wasn't weeping because she had no place to go. She wasn't weeping because she had nothing to eat. She was weeping because her son is left to die. And that is something she wanted to have no place in. She wanted to do everything she could to take care of her son and to provide for her son the best way. But she has no skill. She can't go out there looking for work in those days. She can't. What Hagar forgot was that God made her a promise. She forgot the promises of God. And that's why she ended up hopeless in this moment of her situation. Well, folks, when you are faced with insurmountable circumstance, you can't forget the promises of God. God told her in chapter 16 of Genesis, moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they will be too many to count. How's the boy going to die if descendants are going to be great? Tells her that he is going to be a child that's going to be born, and here is his name. You know, like he told Peter them, meet me on the other side. Why were they struggling in the middle of the water thinking they're going to die? He said, meet me on the other side. Do we really trust the 7,000 promises of God? Do we really believe in them? Abraham would believe in spite of how things look. Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 21 says, in spite of how bad things look, Abraham believed in what was spoken, and he did not waver in his faith. He held to the belief. Yes, did Sarah waver? Yes. But Abraham, he believed that God was going to produce this nation no matter what. God was going to do it. Well, folks, in the midst of the worst times of your life, you must remember God's promises to be anxious for nothing. But by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known. And he would keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. He would never leave you. He will never forsake you. But hold to the commitment he's placed before you to be a great mother.
Thank you, Dr. Cannings, for reminding us that God is our personal Savior who hears each and every time we cry out to him. I hope that you'll obtain today's message or even the entire series to learn from again. Our current series and many other biblical resources are available online at powerwalkministries.org. That's powerwalkministries.org. Or you can call us at 281-260-7402. You can also write to us at Power Walk Ministries, P.O. Box 91460, Houston, Texas 77291. God bless, and may we never forget to hold on to God, who has the power to quiet every storm in our life.